Jane Campion's first new film in 12 years takes a menacing look at masculinity in the American West. The Power of the Dog is set on a 1920s cattle ranch in Montana. It's run by two brothers, George and Phil Burbank, played by Jesse Plemons and Benedict Cumberbatch.
Guess this is it.
What's it, Phil?
What's it? All right, Fatso, I'll tell you what it is. 25 years since our first run together. 1900 and nothing.
That's a long time.
Well, not too damn long.
This is a place dominated by men. So what happens when George marries the widow, Rose, and brings his new bride home to live on the ranch? Well, brother Phil sets out to destroy her. Kirsten Dunst plays Rose, and she's getting a lot of Oscar buzz for this performance. And she joins me now. Kirsten, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about Rose and what drew you to the character.
Well, the way it was written was there's a lot of room. You know, I like when there's room to, you know, have private moments with characters and really a lot to fill in emotionally, like for the screen, not just with words. So I was drawn to that. And I love whenever you see a woman start to lose it. It's fun to play and it's fun to see. So it's nice to be ugly, you know, and show all that kind of stuff. I remember I had to like run out screaming and everyone, even the horses were like, whoa. it's fun to surprise people and scare people. And you know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's a perfect storm of like working with the best creatives. And then Johnny Greenwood's doing the score.
Yeah. You had mentioned so much is accomplished in so few words. Speaking of that, there was this scene where you're practicing the piano and without saying a word, Phil comes in and he just destroys Rose's confidence by playing the same tune she's struggling with on the banjo. Let's listen to that. It sounds cheerful when we're listening back to it, but really it's not. It's a chilly moment in this film. Have you ever been in a movie where like so few words were needed to express such a feeling of menace and dread?
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty good at that stuff. I'm like, you need an actress not to speak and show some things. Like, hire Kirsten. She's pretty good at that. So I wasn't worried about that. I was just like, what is the feeling for me, you know, to convey that best as Rose? And I was thinking, to be a creative and to like play the piano and to, you know, have something you feel confident in or that you're good at and practicing. And then you hear someone who actually has true artistry and true, and it's easy for them or it seems easy. I think for anybody who, in any job, I think that there's like a level that like you kind of keep wanting to reach. And I think if you seeing someone else reach that can be really soul crushing.
Yeah. And I think it seems like Benedict Cumberbatch, who plays Phil, knew that feeling as well. And that's why that scene was so powerful. Is it right that the two of you, in order to prepare for this movie, you actually didn't speak on set?
No, we didn't talk to each other, which was helpful. It just set the tone and it's just like a good energy to have between us on set. And I think it influenced like the whole set, the way he acted. Like he very much stayed in a zone of Phil. And I think that was helpful for everybody. And him and I, we don't really have much exchanges together in the
almost none.
It's like a word here or there, and it's me trying and then being shut down. So it was all about creating what that feeling is for Rose and how people can gaslight other people, whether in work or relationships or whatever it is. If your brain is vulnerable, people can really get in there and worm their way in and really psychologically damage someone.
Mm. I'm speaking with Kirsten Dunst about the new film, The Power of the Dog. And Kirsten, one of the central themes of this film, of course, is on masculinity. And this next clip is from a scene with your character, Rose, and her son, Peter, who's played by Cody Smit-McPhee. He wants to be a doctor, and he's just killed their pet rabbit so that he could dissect it. Let's listen to that.
I thought you liked rabbits.
Yes, I do. But if I want to be a surgeon, I have to practice.
Well, you're not to kill them in the house, Peter. No, I'm putting my foot down.
Well, where'd a man be if he always did what his mother told him?
This is a film about men and masculinity, as I said. What's your take on those themes? It's one of the few women in the movie.
I know. I'm really the... I mean, it's such a big conversation. I think, you know, whatever fill that toxic kind of male energy, that comes from, like, so much pain, you know? But there's so many weird things. Like, the opening of the movie, you see that George and Phil, like, Jesse's character and Benedict's character, they sleep in the same room together, and they're, like, in their 30s. There's so many weird things happening that make someone act out in the way that Phil does. He's like a big baby that, like, is just a hurt, crying child. It's just, that's a very easy thing to see from an outsider. But when you're in it with the people, that family dynamic is very ingrained. The whole relationship is very toxic.
You have two sons, I think, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And I think they're very young still. But what is all this talk that we're having about toxic masculinity in our society today? Like, does that make you think or worry about, like, what kind of men will you be able to raise your boys to be?
Well, I'm very lucky that I have an incredible partner. Jesse's a very kind man, and I just think you kind of learn from example. And also, all you can do is love your kids, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, I will influence them as best as I can, you know, raise them maybe not in LA, raise them in Texas, you know, Austin, Texas, or, like, do whatever I can to not, for me, turn them into, like, kids of actors, you know what I mean? Just, like, this natural entitlement that just comes with, like, being in LA, because we're such a one industry town. I mean, I have a friend, he was like, at school, this other kid would be like, my dad didn't hire your mom for this job or whatever. It just sounds so awful to have that.
So it sounds like part of what you're saying is to make them better adults is to get them the heck out of LA, raise them differently.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's the goal, I think, is like, not to raise any entitled brats. That's my concern. I mean, I just want to raise good humans. That's it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of family, we've heard you talking about Jesse. That is, of course, Jesse Plemons, who plays George in this film, your husband, also your partner in real life. Let's listen to one more scene between the two of you here when you're teaching George how to dance.
One, two, three, to the side. One, two, three, and back. One, two, three. Told you I'd teach you.
So an intimate moment there on screen, but also, again, what's it like to, I don't know, make a movie like this in particular with someone who you're so close to personally? Like, do you talk about the movie over dinner and stuff, or how does that work?
Jesse still has not seen the movie.
What?
It's crazy. I'm like, come on, let's just put it on. It's on Netflix now. Come on, man. Like, let's watch the movie. We can laugh together, whatever. We'll watch it like a home movie.
Why doesn't he watch
just,
it?
I think at this point, it's just, we will sit down and watch it, or he will eventually. But I understand, too, sometimes you make a movie and it feels like you're, it almost feels like a little death when you watch it, because you're like, oh, that's over with and that happened and I can't change it. I don't know. I find I enjoy everyone else's performances and then just really pick apart mine.
You feel self-conscious?
Not self-conscious. It's just like, oh, my voice or this or that. It's hard not to critique yourself while you're watching. I mean, it's like recording your own answering machine. We all do it. It's just...
No, I'm a radio guy. I can relate for sure.
The other
thing is, like, it's this beautiful film and it's over. You're right. It's over. But now I think the next chapter is like all this talk with, will it win an Academy Award? And is Kirsten Dunst going to get her first nomination? What do you think about that? Is that something that, like, excites you? Does it matter to you?
Listen, of course it'd be so, I mean, for my mom, my friends, my family, yeah, it would mean a lot. Yes. It's just like one of those things when you're an actor, like one of your dreams in life is to win an Academy Award. You know what I mean? It's just part of it. I'd like to be cool and be like, no, I don't care. But obviously I'd love to be nominated.
Is it your best work? I mean, like, is this the film you think you should get a nomination for at this point?
Oh, wow. Now, well, listen, I can't be like, I shouldn't. Right. But I don't know. I think a lot of these things are just the perfect storm. I'm very lucky to be a part of a movie that's really good and everyone's really good in it and people are liking it.
You've been making movies for a long time, something like 30 years since you were a kid. Have your priorities changed over the years? Or is there like something else you want to do in Hollywood besides get your kids out of town, but like something else that you want to accomplish in the industry that you haven't?
I feel like this is just all so much more fun. I think that that just comes with age. Like you just are more confident. You question yourself less. You give yourself permission to fail and all these things because it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? It's just like, were you a good person? You know, I just want to have good experiences and like work with creative people that want to try and push things and make things that are exciting.
Kirsten Dunst stars in the new film, The Power of the Dog. It is in theaters and on Netflix. Kirsten, thank you so much and congratulations on a beautiful film.
Thanks, Peter.
And this is Johnny Greenwood's score for The Power of the Dog.